Turn your Bibles real quickly with me to the book of Luke. To the book of Luke tonight. And we're going to flip around here to start a few times. But we're going to start in Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24 and verse number 1 here. Luke 24, verse 1. The Bible says, "Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulcher, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass as they were much perplexed thereabout." You can almost imagine your mind as they come into this tomb. They see that it is empty, scratching their heads right now. What is going on? "Behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them," ooh, I like this, "Why seek ye the living among the dead?" Verse 6, "He is not here, but is risen." Turn over real quick a few verses to verse number 31. Verse number 31, "And the Bible said, and their eyes were opened, and they knew him. And he vanished out of their sight, and they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour, returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11 gathered together, and them that were with them," verse 34, "saying, the Lord is risen indeed, and hath appeared to Simon." Real quickly, turning your Bibles back to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28, and look at verse 1, if you would. Matthew 28, verse 1, very similar to the first passage we read. "In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher." How would you like to be known as the other Mary? Okay? Not the best title for her. Okay? Verse 2. "And behold, there was a great earthquake, and for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said to the women, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified." Verse 6, "He is not here, for he is risen." Tonight I want to talk to you about one of my favorite subjects there possibly could be. And that is that he is alive. He is alive. Let's pray and we'll get started. Dear Lord, we love you. We thank you for this word that you've given us, Lord, in this church that we can attend, Lord. And thank you so much for allowing me this opportunity to preach your word. I ask you to help us all tonight. Lord, help someone to get something from this as I speak. In your precious name, amen. Of course, all of these passages as we read tonight, these all revolve around the fact of Jesus Christ's resurrection. Of course, when I say that word resurrection, I mean the fact that Jesus Christ died on the cross, and then 3 days later, he rose again. And boy, that's an important thing. And as we look at this, we find that God had a master plan. God had a master plan. Of course, you go back through the whole Bible, you get to Genesis chapter 1 in the beginning. And God had made two perfect people, Adam and Eve, and they lived in a perfect place and everything was just so. It was just right. But of course, sin entered the world. And because of that sin and God's master plan, God knew sometime down the road, we're going to have a redemption story. We're going to have something that's going to save people from their sins. And of course, we all know that that master plan was Jesus Christ, the perfect Son of God, the one that he was flawless in, and the Son of God who came to earth to die on the cross for our sins. And boy, he comes, and he lives an awesome life. Boy, best preacher probably there's ever been, best speaker there ever was, no better person at healing people and the miracles and all the things that Jesus Christ did. And of course, that wasn't his purpose. His purpose was to die on the cross. And we get to that traumatic event and we look at that and Jesus Christ dies. And if the story were to end right there, we'd all sit there and we'd scratch our head and say, man, I really expected something more. Of course, the Son of God, how could it just happen that he's just dead and that's it? But praise the Lord, that wasn't the end of the story. And boy, 3 days later, by the way, something I love about it, he said he was going to do it. Okay? He said he was going to do it. It's not that he just rose from the dead. That's cool enough. But the fact that before that he said, hey, just so you know, I'm going to die. And when I do, 3 days later, you might want to pay attention because I'm going to come back to life. Whoo, that takes skill right there. That takes skill right there. And boy, he dies on that cross, and 3 days later, he rises from the dead. I can imagine these ladies as they run to the tomb, and of course, they don't know what's going on. We just said it. They were perplexed. They get to that tomb. Maybe they were blonde. I'm not sure. Okay. They were confused at what was going in there. Blondes, don't get mad at me now. Don't get mad. Okay. But they get that. They are confused at what's going on. And then angel says, "Hey, he ain't here. He's risen from the dead." Woo! Boy, they took off and they ran and found the nearest disciple. Said, "Hey, you might want to go check out that tomb real quick, because something's not right. AKA, he's not in there right now. So I don't know where he is." And boy, those disciples, they took off. They got as fast as they could there, like lightning, and they get there and they look in. He is not here. He's risen. And boy, Jesus Christ was alive. And can I say this? The Christianity rises and falls on the fact that the resurrection actually happened. The resurrection actually happened. You can base all Christianity on that fact. Jesus Christ had to have risen from the dead, or else we serve a God who can't defeat death in the grave. And praise the Lord, he did that. And as I think about that, I think that the resurrection is the key to all Christianity. And boy, can I say this? I don't think it takes a rocket scientist to figure out the fact that Christian beliefs are under attack. They're under attack. Okay, now you can hide under a rock all you want, but they're under attack. And to be honest, they always have been. Ever since Christianity started, there's always been persecution. There's always been people against it. And I think there's three major areas that are attacked. Three beliefs of Christians that are attacked. First off, that book right there is attacked. It is. That Bible right there is attacked, because if you can disprove the Bible, if you can disprove the fact that it's not perfect, that there's some flaws in it, whether that's a historical flaw, whether that's a scientific flaw, whether that's something in history that happened, whatever you can figure out, if you can find a flaw, then guess what that means about that book? It's not perfect. And if that book's not perfect, then everything we do here is just made up. The Bible's attacked. Say, "Teacher, how do you know?" It's not in our schools anymore. It's not in our schools anymore. Our government don't use it no more. And by the way, there's always been persecution for that book right there. But the weird thing is now it's persecution in a nation who was built on it. Okay? That Bible's attacked. That Bible's attacked because if you can get that Bible to be not perfect, then it ceased to be truth. Not only that, but I also believe one of the big areas that is attacked is creation. Is creation. Creation's under attack. It's under attack because if you can take down creation, then number one, you've taken down the Bible. Because the Bible says God created the heavens and the earth, okay? That don't take a genius to figure out. That's what it says. So if you can get rid of creation and the fact that God created it, number one, you've taken out that book. But number two, you've also taken out the fact that God created the universe. So maybe there's no God. And boy, people will attack that all day and every day. And you say, "Hey, Brother TJ, how do you know?" Because they don't teach biblical creation in the public schools, ladies and gentlemen. They don't. It's under attack. The Bible's under attack. Creation's under attack. But can I say this? The resurrection's under attack. The resurrection's under attack because if you can prove the fact that Christ didn't really rise from the dead, then he's not the Son of God. He's not who he said he was. I was teaching junior and senior Bible doctrines. And boy, I get to teach my junior and seniors. And we have an absolute blast in that class. And the one day, they just couldn't figure it out. I was having such a good day, and as I was reading their notes to them, I was laughing hysterically because we were going over false views of the resurrection. False views of the resurrection. You say, "Brother CJ, I have no idea what you're talking about." You're about to find out. They're pretty funny. Now, you don't have to laugh like I did, okay? I couldn't help myself. Of course, since the beginning, there's always been attacks on the resurrection. In Scripture, we find this theory, the theft theory. Dude, look at that, alliteration, theft theory. Of course, this is the one in the Bible where they said that the body of Jesus Christ was stolen. Of course, we know the guards, they were paid to go tell people that, and they were paid to go tell people that Jesus Christ's body was stolen. Question for you. They told everybody they were asleep. How did they know the body was stolen? Question number two. They were there for one purpose. To make sure the body didn't get stolen. That's the whole reason that they were there, boys and girls. That's it. That's all. That's why they were there, to make sure it didn't get stolen. So number one, they didn't do their job. Number two, they were sleeping. They didn't actually see it. By the way, the punishment for that was death. They didn't die, did they? No, because it's a lie. The theft theory. You think that one's not that funny? Here's possibly my second favorite. The swoon theory. Just the word swoon makes me giggle. I don't know why. Swoon theory. Okay, who came up with that? I have no idea. The swoon theory. This theory says that Jesus Christ didn't actually die. He didn't. He was just almost dead. In fact, it goes to the extent that says he was so close to death, but because he was in that nice cold tomb and in the dampness in there, he revived a little bit. And he got feeling a little better. And then he never actually died. Question for you. They were trained killers. The people that crucified Jesus, they did that for a living. They didn't go work at a warehouse. They didn't go build a building. They killed people. Every day they came to work to kill people. Do you think they left him alive? Okay, by the way, Jesus Christ didn't die the natural death on the cross, which was asphyxiation. Normally they would die because they couldn't breathe. That's not how he died. Of course, they come around, they look at Jesus, he's already dead. Remember, they stabbed him in the side with a spear? What came out? Water and blood. That water and that blood, that mixture, was from his heart. Heart failure. So as they stabbed him, they stabbed his heart. I don't know about you, but normally, people do not live after being stabbed in the heart. Okay? So they're not happy with that. And he does, okay, so he's not technically dead. He's just beaten beyond recognition. He's stabbed in the heart. He's still alive, though. He's in the grave. How did he roll a stone away when he's almost dead? And then if he didn't get that stone away, how did he take out the two armed guards that were there for anything bad to happen? The swoon theory. There you go. It's a good one, Ryan. Okay? But that's not even my favorite one. This one, it even rhymes. The hallucination explanation. The hallucination explanation. Okay? This theory is self-explanatory. It is based on the fact that all the people that saw Jesus Christ after he resurrected were just hallucinating. They just made it up. It was just in their minds. They were hallucinating. By the way, I believe it was about 500 people that saw Jesus Christ. I do not know what was going on if 500 people were all hallucinating, okay? That's a lot of people hallucinating, okay? That's crazy. That don't even make sense. Also, on top of that, we know that the disciples, in fact, almost all of them, were going to go out and they would eventually be killed for Christ. We do understand that. Who in their right mind would go out and preach a gospel and preach something that was a lie and then die for it? Who would do that? No one. Why? Because it is true. You say, Brother TJ, where do you stand on this whole thing? I stand with the Bible. And boy, everything in my life that I believe, the way I walk, the way I talk, the way I dress, the way I act, the way I live, it all comes back from this word. And so in the matter of the resurrection, I believe what it says. I believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay for my sins. And then 3 days later, just as he said, he rose from the grave. And guess what that means? Today, he is alive. Praise the Lord for that. By the way, this also throws out your whole good guy argument. If you've ever been at a door, maybe out sewing, and you've talked to someone, and you got around to that conversation where, hey, what do you think about Jesus? What do you think about Jesus? And boy, I've been there, and I say, I believe Jesus was a good guy. He was a good prophet. One of two things is true. Only one or two things are true. Either A, Jesus Christ was the Son of God. You say, why do you say that, TJ? Because he said it. He said, I am the Son of God. I am going to raise from the dead. So either A, he's telling the truth, or B, he's the biggest liar there's ever been. That's it. Because guess what? He did say he was going to rise from the dead. He did say that he was the Son of God. So if he's not the Son of God, then he's lying. Which means he can't be a good guy. Because he has a whole book written about him. And people following him all over the world for years and years and years. And people dying for him. So either A, he is the Son of God. By the way, he is. That's where I stand. Okay? I stand the fact that he's the Son of God. Or he's the biggest liar ever. But praise the Lord for the Word of God. I believe when it says that he died on the cross, he did. And then 3 days later, he rose again. And of course, all of Christianity rises and falls on that fact. So I believe we all stand with me in the fact that Jesus Christ was resurrected. And boy, I believe that we have proven that tonight. And he came back 3 days later and we believe the biblical account of the resurrection. So because he lives, there are some definite realizations and conclusions that we can draw from. And I've got just five quick thoughts on the fact that Jesus Christ is alive, and we will be done. Number one, because he is alive, I know he is all-powerful. Because he is alive, I know that he is all-powerful. Can I say this? No one ever did that. Sure, you can look through the Bible and you find people who, yes, they were raised from the dead. You can find that. I think Elijah did it. I believe Elisha did it as well. In fact, Jesus did it multiple times. But no one ever raised himself from the dead. No one else ever did that. By the way, no other religion, no other false god has ever done that. Only Jesus Christ. And because of that, I believe that he is all powerful. Can I love sports talk radio. I love sports talk radio. If you come into my car right now, unfortunately, you turn on the radio, you will not hear Jesus loves me, although that is good. Okay? You're gonna find sports talk radio. I love it. I'm a fan. I'm a huge fan. Every time I get in my car, sports talk. What are we talking about? Basketball? Sure. Football? Why not? Hockey? Yes. Let's do it. Okay? I'm listening to sports talk all the time. Last Sunday night, I was getting in the spirit before I ever got here. Because I turned on sports talk radio. Some of you are thinking, what? Okay. So I'm in my car. I turn on sports talk radio. I'm on my way to church. I got my nice suit on. I'm ready to go. Sunday night, let's do it. Church. And I get on there. The one thing I hate about sports talk radio is that a lot of times they don't talk about sports. Can I get an amen from someone who listens? It's sports talk radio. I don't want to hear your life lessons or your theories on every... Shut up and talk sports. That's what you get paid to do. Okay? That's just venting a little anger right there. Okay? So I'm listening to this. Of course, I turn it on. What are they not doing? They're not talking about sports. I'm like, this is terrible. All of a sudden, so I start listening. All of a sudden, I understand what they're talking about. They're talking about things that just absolutely blow your mind. Things that just blow your mind. Things that don't even, we almost can't even fathom. For instance, the one guy, he says to the other, did you know that there are more stars in our universe than all of the sand on Earth? Now you know why I was getting a little excited, okay? Did you know there's more stars in the universe than sand on the seashore? I'm thinking, I knew that. The other guy, he says, hey, what about this one? He says, do you know the fact that stars, you are seeing the light from stars that have already exploded? So you look up, you see a star, you're like, oh, look at that star. Well, that thing might have already blown up. It's just taking the light so long to get here that it's already blown up, but you still think there's a star there. Even though it blew up long time ago and it's not actually there anymore. Did you know that? And I thought, I sure didn't, but I know who made all that. I know who made all that. It's right here. Right here. This is not a hang loose sign, Brother Pearl. This is a Bible span. This is a span. This is a measurement they used. God says the whole universe is like this. Woo! That's good. That is good. God is all powerful. Praise the Lord. He is alive, and guess what? He is all powerful. And I don't know what burdens you came tonight with. I don't know what you're struggling with. I don't know what problems or issues you may be facing tonight. But can I say this, that we have an all powerful God who sits there and says, hey, the universe is just like this to me. It's just a little bit in my hand. It's a span to me. No matter what problem you've got in life, can I say this? You've got a God who is powerful enough to handle it. Praise the Lord for it. And he's alive. Because he's alive, I know he is all powerful. Number two, because he is alive, I know he walks with me. I know he walks with me. And with that one story I read, of course, that's the road to Emmaus. The two disciples, they're walking to the road to Emmaus, and they're talking about the fact that Jesus Christ, man, Jesus the Messiah, he just died. How could that happen? And they're talking, and if you can imagine this, possibly a little creepy. You're walking with a friend somewhere, you're hiking, and all of a sudden, boop, guy just pops up. That's basically what Jesus did. And they don't even think anything of it. They're like, oh, hey, how you doing? What's up? And so they're walking down the road, and they're talking about Jesus with Jesus. That's pretty cool. I wonder what Jesus said about himself. Okay? Some of you are like, I know what I'd be saying about myself. Stud. Okay? So they're walking with him. Yeah, that was a good one. I know. It's okay. Okay? So they're walking with him, and boy, all of a sudden their eyes are open, the Bible says, and they realize, whoa, this is Jesus. And then, boop, he's gone. It's like, no, they're trying to maybe grab at the wisp of air as he poofed away. I don't know. But They were walking with Jesus because He was alive. He was alive. Praise the Lord. Did you know something? I came to church tonight, and guess what I realized? God was going to be here. I'm going to get in my car after this, and the moment I get in that car, guess what I'm going to realize? That God's in my car. I'm going to get home to my apartment tonight, and I realize that God's going to be in my apartment. You want to know why? Because the Bible says that our bodies are the temple of the Lord. That means wherever I go, because I'm saved, the moment I trusted Christ, the Holy Spirit of God came inside of me. And guess what that means? Everywhere I go through life, Jesus Christ is with me all the time. And He's walking with me. Ooh, I like that. I like that. Praise the Lord. At college, I worked possibly the worst job of my entire life. I worked in a warehouse. Say, teacher, that's not that bad. A frozen warehouse. Negative 10. Ice cream. That's what we worked with. Ice cream. Brother Tim can testify. If you have any doubts of this, you can talk to him. This is a truthful story. Okay? Boy, frozen warehouse. I'm going to college full time. I am working, get this, 3 in the afternoon to 3:30 at night. That's like 12 and a half hours if you do your math there. 6 days a week. And I'm going to classes every day. And I'm in a ministry. Some of you are like, TJ, you're weak. Okay. Okay. And then I get to work and it's freezing. It's freezing. I should have said no. The moment I started that job and they handed me that big old freezer suit that was like this big and made me look like a fat person, I should have said no. I should have said no. I walked in there that first day. I saw a dude with a mustache come out, and he's like a walrus with the icicles hanging down his face. I should have said no. I should have said no. And boy, I started working that first night. And all I'm thinking, oh my, Lord, you're going to have to help me because I'm going to die. I'm going to die. It's only been halfway through the shift, and I'm going to die. And that next night I came in, I'm thinking, well, that first night I was all right. I'm a little more tired tonight, but I got this. Lord, halfway through, I'm going to die. I'm not going to make it. And the next day, and the next day, and the next day, and I kept coming, I kept working. I'll tell you what. God was with me in a nasty, cold freezer. Boy, I hopped on my little, I drove a pallet jack around, the fastest one in the building. I felt so cool, boy. I'd be flying on that thing. I got my little mask on. I'm flying around. There's no one around. It's 1 in the morning, 2 in the morning, and I'd be praying. I'll be talking to the Lord. Lord, how you doing today? I know you're with me. Ooh, that warmed me up a little bit. Boy, I'd be in them freezer aisles and there ain't no one around and I'm just belting it out. Especially when them fans got going because then I knew no one could hear me. And boy, I'm just belting it out. I'm singing about Jesus. I'm praising Him. Can I say this? God walks with you. He is alive and He is with you all the time. All the time. Praise the Lord. It doesn't matter what you're going through. It doesn't matter where you are in life. God Almighty is with you. Ooh, that's a good feeling. It also can be scary. On the flip side of that, I don't want to be negative and ruin my vibe I got going in here right now. But it can be a little scary if you're living in sin. Because if Almighty God's with you all the time, then guess what? He sees when we're messing up. He sees when we're struggling. Okay? But praise the Lord, He's with us all the time. Number one, because He is alive, I know He is all powerful. Number two, because He is alive, I know He walks with me. Number three, because He is alive, I know He hears my prayers. I know He hears my prayers. Turn over real quick to 1 Kings. 1 Kings. Chapter 18. 1 Kings chapter 18, real quick. If you're not there, that's all right. I'm going to read it anyway. Verse 26. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 26. The Bible says, and they took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it, and called the name of Baal from morning even until noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice nor any that answered, and they leaped upon the altar which was made. Verse 27, good old Elijah, here we go. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is talking, or he is pursuing, or he is in a journey, or peradventure he sleepeth and must be awakened. Of course, this is the story of Elijah and the prophets of Baal. Of course, they made a little deal and they had a little competition. Whose God can bring down fire? Of course, they are praying to Baal, a false god, a statue, a stone or wood or whatever it was. And they're praying their hardest. Good old Elijah. I think we're going to get to heaven. And Elijah is going to be honestly quite scary to us. He sounds like a crazy guy, but he'll be cool. And Elijah, he comes and says, hey, your God all right? Hey, is he doing okay? Maybe he's sleeping, man. Maybe he's on vacation. I don't know, but you might want to yell a little louder because he's not seeming to hear you. And oh boy, Elijah gets up there. He calls on his God. Fires come down. Praise the Lord that we pray to an alive God. We don't pray to some false God that doesn't answer prayer or doesn't hear our prayer. We pray to the one true God that hears our prayer. And just like Elijah's case, he brought down fire from heaven. Anything we need, we go to God. He is alive, and therefore, he hears our prayers. Praise the Lord. That's a comfort. When you're going through a tough time and you don't know where to turn, you don't know who to talk to, you've always got God on your side, by the way, an all-powerful God who can do anything about it. He's with you all the time, so he's right there for you. You say, Lord, I need you. And he hears your prayer. Ooh, that's good too. Praise the Lord. I gotta hasten. Number four, because he is alive, I have to tell others. Because he is alive, I have to tell others. Of course, the Bible tells us without a shadow of a doubt that it is our job to go out and to tell people about Jesus Christ. It is a command. It is a command from God. God says, you are to go out and you are to tell people about me. In fact, that was the last thing Jesus Christ ever said before he ascended into heaven. Go. Preach all the gospel. Preach it to everybody you find. Tell people about what I just did on the cross. But dealing with teenagers, what I've learned is commands don't always mean anything. Okay? You say, Brother T, what are you talking about? If you have a teenager, you understand. Hey, go do that. Why? Hey, I need you to go do this real quick. Well, why? What? Because I told you so. And of course, we always say that, but sometimes it just doesn't work like that, okay? Why? So God has already commanded us, but just in case you don't always believe in commands, might I read this to you? He loved you enough to die for you in one of the worst possible ways. He saved you from the worst eternity and fate you can ever imagine. He didn't say that either because he's alive, and someday you're going to stand before him. So you say, well, TJ, I don't know about that whole command thing. Hey, he died for you. He died for you, by the way. The reason he died for you was because you were going to pay eternity in hell, the worst possible thing you can imagine. And on top of that, you're going to stand before him someday. I don't know about all of you, but someday I'm going to stand before God, and I don't want him to look at TJ, little old TJ, and say, TJ, why don't you tell people about me? So I'm glad, TJ, that I saved you, and you were able to get to heaven. But where's all the people with you? Where's the people that you are bringing to me? Where's the people that you told about me? I don't want that. Yeah, it's commanded, but more than that, Jesus Christ did it for me, and I better go out and tell somebody about it so that other people can enjoy the fact that I'm going to heaven someday, and they can go on with me too. Boy, I was listening to a pastor the other day in a staff meeting. Pastor said this. Boy, sometimes you hear those things, you're just like, ooh, that sticks with you. Pastor said, the highlight of my week is the moment that I share the gospel with someone else soul winning. So that's the highlight of my... Some of you are disappointed. Man, I thought him seeing me on Sunday morning was the highlight of his week. Unbelievable. No. He said, the highlight of my week is when I go out and tell someone about Jesus. That's the highlight of my week. Can I say this? I was glad last Thursday after I heard that. I heard that in staff meeting. I thought, boy, I'm going soul winning. Let's do it. Let's go find somebody. And boy, me and Don Bruton, we went out. Of course, he had his little son, Duke. That was the best tag team ever. I've got Big Don, who wears his Oakleys and looks absolutely scary as can be, and just stands there like this. And then I've got his little child who's like, hey, how are you doing? Okay, best combo ever. Okay, I'm out there. Here comes a kid riding his bike. Junior high boy, of course. Yo, what's up, man? How you doing? And of course you say, why you say yo? Because he's a teenager. We have that same lingo. Okay. So I'm fellowshiping with, I said, hey man. Of course, he looks at you like, whoa, stranger danger, man. It's like, hey, I'm from church. Got this invitation for you. And then, of course, he's like, oh, sweet. He comes over, named Devin. About 5 minutes later, he bowed his head and prayed, accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. Yeah, that's commanded. Oh, yeah, that's commanded. But guess what? I got to share it with people. I got to share it with people. Because he did it for me. He died for me, and he died for them. And how selfish I would be to not tell anybody else about it. Because he is alive, I must tell others. And finally, number five, and I'll be done. Because he is alive, I know that he is coming again. Because he's alive, I know he's coming again. Of course, as he goes up, he says, I go to prepare a place for you, and someday I'm going to come back. I'm going to get my children. I'm going to take you home with me. And boy, that's nice to know because he is coming again. Why is that good to know? Because rewards are coming. Rewards are coming. You say, Brother TJ, no one sees what I do. Nobody sees the fact that I pray. No one sees the fact that I'm reading my Bible. No one sees the fact that I'm trying my hardest to live for Jesus. And no one sees the fact that I witness everywhere I go and I tell people about Jesus. I pass out tracts all the time. They might not, but guess what? Rewards are coming. Rewards are coming. Not only that, but rest is coming. Praise the Lord for the day when I do not have to deal with this wicked, sinful flesh anymore. I'm looking forward to that day. I'm looking forward to that day where I get that glorified body and I don't have to deal with all the junk of life and all the garbage of life and all that temptation. Whew. I'm going to lay down my armor, as the Bible says. I'm going to put my weapons away. Why? Because rest is coming. Not only that, but reunion's coming. If you've got loved ones who have passed on before you, or heroes of the faith, or family members, you're going to be reunited with them someday. Why? Because Jesus Christ is coming to them. The question is tonight, do you believe in the resurrection? Do you believe it? Of course, I know where I stand. I stand with that word right there. I stand with that Bible. And therefore, if I believe that He did resurrect, if I believe that He is alive, then guess what? That means He is coming again. That means I better do all I can to tell other people about Him. That means that I need to walk with Him. I know that He hears my prayer and that He is all-powerful. Did He resurrect? I believe He did. This book says He did. And I hope you do too. Let's bow for a word of prayer.